Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, 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 everybody. Thanks for joining us tonight. My name's Tricia. Thank you. I do appreciate you tuning in. It's our Blog Talk version of True Crime Radio. And don't forget now, today it's brought to you by the wonderful Doris Day Animal Foundation. Doris Day, the famous actress, of course, was looking around her surroundings in the 70s, early 70s, and said, you know what? There are way too many homeless pets just where I live. And she was in Beverly Hills, Los Angeles. And she said even there, the homeless pets were out of control. So with her own money, she started the Doris Day Foundation. And that foundation's purpose is to find homes for these unwanted pets. Check out their website, www.dorisdayanimalfoundation.org. Time for all that luscious legal goo. Opinions expressed on Trisha's True Crime Radio are those of the hosts and guests. And do remember this, Trisha's True Crime Radio is a completely separate entity from websleuth.com LLC and forumsforjustice.org. Now, I'm going to have an announcement at the end of the show. Don't panic. It's nothing tragic like the Kardashian show was canceled. Notice my voice dripping with sarcasm. No, it's just a little announcement. That's all I'm going to say right now. But I have lots to say about this guest, a wonderful woman, Dr. Lillian Glass. Amazing, I think, is the best way to describe Dr. Glass. She has written 14 books, has helped the world identify terrorists, been on every major TV show there is, and she is known as the First Lady of Communication. Also, Dr. Glass is one of the world's most well-respected and foremost authorities in the field of communication and body language. Everybody, please welcome with me right now, Dr. Lillian Glass. Dr. Glass, welcome.
So good to be on your show, Trish. I really love it.
Thank you. Now, I have been reading your Facebook pages, posts, and 99% of the people agree with you. Every once in a while, we get a toxic person on your post, but maybe I'm weird, but it's entertaining to me to see how you handle it, because you just, like, it's just a slam dunk. I just love it. But you've been posting a lot about, we're going to talk about some people that you've been posting about. We're going to get right to it right now. One of my pet peeves that I feel is almost criminal is the way Kate Gosselin treats her children. Kate plus eight, all of that. Now, if everybody remembers, a few months ago, Kate was on the Today Show with her twins, and boy, that body language there, Dr. Glass, why don't you tell us about that interview and what you were able to deduce from the twins' body language when their mom, Kate, was trying to get them to say something on the Today Show?
Right. Well, it really showed how controlling she is and how very upset she got when they took matters in their own hands and refused to speak and refused to participate. And this must have irked her tremendously, because she's a woman that likes to be in control of everything and everyone. And it was just very upsetting to her. And when we see this Kate special that was on, you see a lot of that same behavior, except this time you see it more in detail with these girls, especially the teen girls, the ones that are 13 years old, mm-hmm. Maddie and Kara, and it's pretty disturbing. There's one scene where they're playing a ball game, and the object is for someone to hit the ball on someone's legs, and then that person is out of the game. Mm-hmm. And when you look at Kate, she did it with such vehemence and such anger towards Maddie. And then at the end, she wanted to hug Maddie and say she was sorry. And Maddie goes, no, don't touch me. And then,
good for her.
In an interview, Maddie said, Kate said, well, I'm sorry. She says, well, I don't accept your apology. So you see there's so much hatred. And the other twin, Kara, was watching all this, and she was playing with her sleeves and pulling them down and just very, very nervous. And she was kind of enjoying the sassy feedback from Maddie. But it seems like now, instead of the villain being John, now the villain, the ex-husband, now the villain is Maddie. And I don't think this is going to be very healthy for Maddie in the long run.
Do you feel that Kate Gosselin needs to have a villain in her life? She's almost got to have somebody to pick on, it seems like.
It seems that way, doesn't it? It's interesting, because the anger that she and Maddie have towards one another is so volatile. And especially when you watch that ball game. I mean, what parent would really want to hit their child so hard? And,
nobody.
You know, just, there's something very disturbing about this whole thing. And seeing this on television, you know, it was a cute show, and they were little tiny babies, and there was a cute little couple, she and John, and then they were struggling to have this family and raising it. That's one show. But now it's pathology. It's like watching a bad train wreck of a very, very, very rigid mother, and who doesn't have a lot of the warm fuzzies, the affection going. A lot of the kids sat back, and a lot of the kids are unhappy, and it's not pleasant. And I who knows if it's going to continue? You know, there's a lot of televisions out there that. That's kind of the formula, you know, the person you love
exactly.
to hate. Why hate anyone? Why have hate?
Exactly.
There's too much of it in the world already. You don't need to see it, perpetuated on television.
We're talking with Dr. Lillian Glass. She is the world-renowned body language expert, and we're talking about Kate Gosselin. You remember Kate and John plus 8, and then it was just Kate plus 8. Now it's Kate plus a special. And you have to wonder, Dr. Glass, Kate Gosselin is behaving this way on camera. What do you think she does off camera? To me, that's what I worry about.
Well,
if this is how she wants the world to see her.
Yeah, there's a new book that's just going to, I believe it's going to come out tomorrow, about Kate and her, I guess it's a true book because it comes from her mouth, allegedly. And so, you know, we'll really see. I mean, there's something not right. And the fact that there's so many people that are not feeling good about it after they watch the show or they see this. You know, let's even contrast another reality show with a family. There's the Little People, the Little Couple, which is the sweetest show with such love.
Yes.
From the two primary, the couple Bill and Jen. They love each other so much, and you feel it. And they love these little children they adopt. And they're just so loving to them. And, you know, they set discipline. I mean, they set limits for the children. Like they had an episode about an Easter egg, and Bill took away the Easter egg from his son, Will, because he was sticking it in his mouth. So, you know, the love there is so evident. And you don't really see that with Kate. And it's not pleasant. But, again, it's a business decision. And, you know, the network primed her to be a star, and they're going to get their money's worth, it seems to me.
Exactly, and it feels like Kate Gosselin, you know, must know this. She must know she's a polarizing figure, and it's like she doesn't care. She wants this hit show at the expense of her children. I mean, think about it when they get older, when they're adults, and they look back on this. They're going to be mortified that their own mother did this to them, put them on camera, and then behaved this way to them. I'm telling you, we're going to see, how many kids does she have? 8? We're going to see 8 books come out as soon as those kids are 18 talking about their experiences. And it's just absolutely tragic. But she has been investigated by CPS, I believe, hasn't she?
I don't know that. I imagine. If you say so, but I didn't
well,
know.
I think it was years and years ago somebody called CPS on them and they did an investigation. Mm-hmm. Found nothing, of course. But it's hard to find anything if it's verbal. That's very difficult. But to me, seeing this show just seems abusive. I'm sorry. It's abusive to put these kids.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's abusing John. That's kind of where
I
took umbrage with it. Because, look, she's got her own parenting style. It's very, very strict. It's very not warm and fuzzy. It's not my type. Mm-hmm. But, hey, you know, to each his own. But I think where I found problems with it was when she was abusing John in front of the kids. And she was,
yes.
It was so ugly for me in Kate plus 8. And I didn't like that. And then the next thing that bothered me about her was that she was lying and knowing body language so well, just blatantly lying on television, saying one thing and it being another. And you could see
the
signs.
Tell me what the lies were.
She would lie about her children not being expelled from school. She would lie about certain things that happened that didn't happen, etc. Mm-hmm. And you saw that on camera. She did an interview with Natalie Morales, and it was filled with signals of deception, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, yours is the opinion. I mean, governments all over rely on that opinion, and so it certainly is trustworthy, because we're talking with Dr. Lillian Glass, the world-renowned body language expert. And I'd like to remind everybody, you can go to Dr. Glass's website. It's lillianglass.com, and Dr. Glass can help you with your own personal body language reading, I guess is what you would call it. Is that what you call it, a body language?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think
just
that's
like
really
I do with
good.
Sorry, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I think that's really good that you offer that to people, that somebody can send you a video and say, you know, what does this person say to you? What are you seeing? And you're able to help them, and I appreciate that you offer that to people, because I'll tell you what, in this day and age, it is important to find out who's telling you the truth and who's not. Because as we know, people misrepresent who they are. They always show their best foot, their best side first, and it's that ugly side that we need to see. Now, let's move on here. We're going to get to Hillary Clinton in just a moment, because I talk about a polarizing person. But let's talk about, these people, I just do not like them, and that's the Kardashians, and they're huge. I mean, they are a mega money-making machine, and that poor little girl, Northwest, never have I seen a picture, so many pictures of a child, each one, she looks miserable, or she's being held by her mom, Kim, and she's trying to push away. She's never looked happy, she's never smiled, she just looks miserable, and I know you have a lot to say about that, and some people were very angry at you for speaking up about the Kardashians, so tell us your thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, let's first of all address that. I don't like that this is in our society, there's to each his own, you could watch whatever you want, but I see how this is ruining young women. I really do. I see it, how young women are trying to follow the Kardashians in terms of their dressing. I mean, young 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds wearing these low-cut dresses, and, you know, it's just because it looks like Kim Kardashian. The behavior is mirrored. In fact, I was on my way to a TV show and had a limo driver who happened to be in the Los Angeles Armenian community. And he said to me, you know, that he wasn't married. It was so hard for him to find a nice Armenian girl, married an American girl. I said, oh, really? He said, yes. He said, because they're all following Kim Kardashian now. And they won't even look at any Armenian men. They only want to go out with men of color because they're using the role model of the Kardashians. So he can't even get a date, he was saying.
Oh, that's sad.
He was saying that to me. But, you know, again, that's not a problem, whatever, you know, race you choose. That's absolutely not an issue. The issue is that you see people who are so vulgar. And how did Kim come to fame? You know, she's not educated. She hasn't gone to school. I wonder if she even finished high school.
I don't think she did.
No, and I don't think any of her sisters did, because they... You know, they've been homeschooled, and obviously somebody didn't do such a good job homeschooling them, because their speaking is atrocious, and the way they think is just unacceptable. But when you really look at how did Kim come on the scene, she made a sex tape, and, you know, look, sex tapes are made, but it was beyond a sex tape. It was so vulgar. I mean, when you have someone urinate on you and degrade you in that capacity, you know, it says a lot. I mean, it's one thing, you know, a boyfriend and a girlfriend got together and they turn on the camera. This is not it. This was choreographed. It was really obvious, in my view. And then, you know, the mother gets involved in it, and then she wants to take her clothes off and get into Playboy, and she wants to get nude, and she has a sex tape. Oh, come on. You know, the whole thing is so nauseating. And little girls follow this. And I'm so much an advocate for the new generation coming up, and I love to be a mentor for young women and be very supportive of them and kind of guide them in the right way. And mm-hmm. when I see this just sickens me because this is the wrong way. And you know, you see, like, 14-year-olds wearing that flesh color shirt with short pants, so it looks like they're naked. And, you mm-hmm. know, this kind of stuff has to affect what's happening to society. So when I see people sticking up for Kardashians and not knowing the basics, you know, when you're talking about a little baby who never smiles, that's huge. That is huge. And when
that
you're seeing,
absolutely huge.
Like you said, the baby pushes away. There's no bonding. There's no loving. There's no caressing. She's a prop, in my eyes, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just, you know, it's really sad because this is an innocent child. Then you look at how Kanye treats Kim, and it's kind of like on the verge of being abusive. You know, she's controlling everything, the control freak type. You know, he's
mm-hmm.
controlling this, he's doing gonna do this, she has no say in that. And you see it in her body language, a lot of change in her body language. You never see even Kim smile anymore. So the
no.
child is picking up no smiles from mom. There's no mirroring effect of, because the children learn to smile and emote from watching their caretakers. And she doesn't see any of that with her mom and dad. So she's mirroring that behavior. And it's just so sad. And you know, so with regard to people that comment, they're obviously not aware. They're not educated in
mm-hmm.
knowing what's going on. They're speaking because they like how Kim dresses, or they feel, oh, everybody's picking on Kim. Well, no, they're not. They would have nothing to pick on if she was doing something of value, if she was giving back. They just had an episode. And I've done enough reality TV in my lifetime, several
yes.
shows. You know, it's scripted. There's no question
mm-hmm.
about it. But there are moments of reality that come. There's like the situation is scripted, but the, you know, the actual verbiage comes out of your mouth. So
mm-hmm.
when you hear Kris Kardashian referring to her daughter as a
piece of shit is what she called her.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, how can a parent talk like that about their daughter, you know? And what was this about? This was a scene. And even though, as I said, it may be choreographed, that allegedly Kim, Kris was upset, and the laundry room that they had was filled with urine and defecation from the dogs. And
mm-hmm.
Kim was upset, and she was upset with Kim because Kim didn't clean it up or help. And it was, and you saw how Kim just like threw a Kleenex in and sprayed and ran out. And it's kind
mm-hmm.
of like, is she doing that with Nori? You know, is she,
yes.
you know, baby bit up and they urinate and they defecate, and so
do
you
everything.
Know, you just wonder what kind of a person is this? And then they allegedly left the dogs. One of the younger daughters, Kendall, left the dogs in the room for 2 weeks or two days.
Mm-hmm.
And how can you do that with all their money? You think they would get a dog sitter or a dog walker to take care and relieve the dogs? But that wasn't the case. Now, even though, and this may have been fantasized, this may have been a situation where it's not, you know, it was scripted and it was just
mm-hmm.
like part of the acting thing. But to even come up with something like that shows a lot of disturbances in my mind, especially
exactly.
with regard to an helpless animal. So, again, I am not a fan of these people. And if somebody is a fan, it speaks volumes to me about them. And is Kim pretty? Sure, she's pretty. And anybody would look pretty with the right makeup. And
mm-hmm.
you can even learn how to do that with the tutorials. I mean, she does. There's beautiful makeup artistry on
mm-hmm.
her face. Beautiful hair implants or hair weaves or whatever they have, or pieces. I mean,
mm-hmm.
they're perfectly groomed. The clothing is wonderful, some better than others, but very stylish. Yes, that's all wonderful. But there's a lot more that's behind that. And that's what we've really got to look at. The looks are only part of it. And, you know, that's really what concerns me. There's also something that also concerns me, which is kind of frightening. And, you know, you dealing with crime and knowing so much about it in your radio shows, et cetera, and mm-hmm. following all the criminal cases, there was a man who had done some horrible crimes, but somebody thought he looked like a fashion model. So now
he's
a star.
He's a star. And yes, I know who you mean.
You know, and it just shows you that, and they had somebody on the radio in Los Angeles offering him a modeling contract.
Oh, my God.
So and this is a man who's guilty. When you have a little black tear under your eye, that does
means
not
you
mean
killed somebody.
A cute little, yeah, that's not a little mm-hmm. tattoo. That's
yeah, it's not. I'm not saying that you're a sensitive guy. You're not a sensitive guy. No, that means you've killed somebody, killed one. I think everybody has seen this picture of this guy. He does have gorgeous eyes. He looks gorgeous, but he is a
nice,
scary criminal.
Blue eyes. But again, it's what are we saying? And this is unfortunate. This is the reality, too, that in courtrooms that people do judge people who look better to mm-hmm. be less guilty, and it is a manipulative technique that a lot of people are not aware of. But, you know, when you look at someone like Jodi Arias and she takes all her makeup off, she's not really doing herself any favors.
Right.
She's dolled up. Maybe she, you know, wouldn't get the death sentence. Who knows? But,
exactly.
You know, it's the same with Casey Anthony. But, you know, you're really seeing this physical worshiping of beauty in a very disturbed way. And there has to be a lot more in terms of your actions. And kids aren't getting that message, and that concerns me a lot.
It concerns me, too. And getting back to the Kardashians for just a moment, I think it's obvious that Nori has probably lots of nannies. And one thing people need to realize, I think this is good for everybody, when a little baby, at even a couple of days old, starts to bond with someone, and then mm-hmm. you break that bond, that messes up their subconscious for life.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, if they fire nannies and it goes from one nanny to another, that kid is going to be a horrible mess when she gets older.
Well,
and
you know,
she's going to hate her parents.
No, Trish, you see the mess starting already. There was one picture of her, and some commenter said, oh, well, I saw her smiling. I saw a picture of her. Yeah, early, early on, she had mm-hmm. a little smile on her face. I think she was with somebody, and she not her parents. Again, it was with a photographer or something. And she had a cute little smile. You could see the little dimples, and that stopped. Mm-hmm. There's no more of that. Again, something's happening in her world that's frightening. And look, she has her own little entourage that she travels with. She doesn't have her mom or her dad. She has a nanny. She has a bodyguard. She has all kinds of people that are on her little team. And it's so sad. Driver. And, you know, it's just pathetic because, you know, not only the message, this poor little girl getting distorted, and we see this right in front of our eyes, and that's what I think is the worst thing, because there's nothing you can do about it. And it also
right.
starts at the beginning. You see, it starts with Kris, you know. She, when you really look at the whole Kardashian history, you know, she kind of married a more famous guy, and, you know, she dropped
mm-hmm.
her husband, Kardashian, Robert Kardashian.
Robert Kardashian, right.
Yeah, she went for Bruce Jenner and wanted to be with, you know, the limelight. And she did a great job, I have to say, getting him out there in terms of speaking engagements and representing products. So she was his manager. And then she did it with the kids. And then it just kind of snowballed, and this is the effect. She's quite good at being a manager for her family. But then she's always wanted to be that star, and that's where it's her biggest failure, because she's not star material. She
right.
bombs talk shows. She bombs on everything she does. Mm-hmm. She's manipulative. And, you know, it's just pretty, you know, the names they call her on the internet, the pimp mom, I guess is what they refer to, pimp mom Kardashian. And it's just, you know, but again, these people have all their, and then they have a church that I'm sure is tax deductible, their own church, the Kardashian church. So, it's sickening. And again, this is not how most of us were raised. Even her own sister trashed her and was disgusted by her. But, you know, what goes up does come down. And, when you're looking at it, and her other younger children are spoiled and unaware and of what life is really about. And
right.
You just see the nastiness.
Let me ask you about Bruce Jenner. He did have an Adam's apple shave, or he shaved down the Adam's apple. And what that the only reason you have that done is if you're getting ready to do an operation. Yeah, to do a transition.
Right,
maybe other people have it done, but it's, you know, don't you think, and maybe you could tell, is he really going to go for that? Is Bruce Jenner trying to become a woman?
You know, who knows? I mean, you know, when you're really looking at things, I mean, you know, the size of Bruce Jenner that he was back in the day when he was doing the Olympics and they didn't have drug testing then, you don't know what's been in his system and the hormones, and you don't know what happened neurologically or biologically, but something's going on, or psychologically. And again, living with Chris was no bargain in the last years, because, you know, he was very respected and very wonderful guy, and very, you know, had a great message. And, you know, to be abused on that show, really, that's another situation where he was emasculated and made to look like the dummo, when that's not him at all. So he
Right.
was set up and just went with him, and who knows what's going to happen, or whether he's going through the transition or he's not, or you know, and time will tell, certainly. But he certainly has feminized his features. There's no question about that, with the surgery and the hair and the, you know, but
and the nail polish.
If that's where he has to go, you know, God bless him. I mean,
good for him.
You know, if that's because I've worked with so many clients that have gone through that transition period and have had transgender issues, and it's something they're born with. You know, you can't be critical of it at all.
No,
the most painful thing. You know, and I got involved with this. I was the one that taught Dustin Hoffman to sound like a woman for Tootsie. So I did a lot of research on. So I did a lot of research in the area of speech and voice analysis with regard to transgender patients, and a lot of them came to see me to help them work with their voice to sound more like a woman, or women sound like men. So I know a lot about the topic, and you know, it's heart-wrenching when people are born one way and they feel another way.
Let's talk about that topic. I had no idea, Dr. Glass. That is not surprising, because you do so much already. But this is such a fascinating topic, because until recently, transgender people who were trying to transition from you know, woman to man or man to woman were always treated like freaks, and it was tragic.
Yeah.
And the suicide rate was so high. Thank God we are finally. Seeing the light.
It is hard. And even if they are accepted, a lot of times the suicide rate is still high, because, again, you know, there's remorse, or they're not the stability factor. You know, some are just miserable even after they get the transition, and then others are thrilled and it's changed their lives. So, again, it's such a slippery slope, so to speak. And you know, and I have such sensitivity because I've seen it so much up close and personal.
When somebody is going through a transition to another sex, what is the process? Do they take a full year to make sure that this is the right decision?
More.
What happens? What happens?
More than either. They have to wear, you know, start dressing in the opposite gender, and they oftentimes, that's where I saw them. They took voice and speech lessons, and they get various surgeries, electrolysis. They, you know, start learning about makeup tips, and they start associating, you know, going places where they try to live that gender to see if indeed that's something they do. They go through a battery of psychological tests, psychiatric tests before the surgery's done. You know, they're in hormones, so there's a lot of behavioral changes that you see, a lot of tears, a lot of crying that normally they didn't experience, may not have experienced before due to hormonal changes. Pain, a lot of hormonal changes in the chest area, breast area. So, you know, it's a real, it's a challenge, and certainly, you know, my heart goes out to anybody who goes through that, because I've seen just, you know, how much agony, and their parents will many times reject them, their siblings will reject them, they'll be embarrassed, some will be married and have, you know, families, they'll be fathers or mothers, and, you know, their children will reject them, and so their support system and life as they knew it is no longer what it was.
Exactly. And recently, and perhaps you have seen this case, Dr. Glass, there was a story on the internet, and it was so heartwarming. It was about a young couple with a really young child, and I believe she was a girl. And when she was like 4 years old, she said, "I'm a boy." And to make a long story short, they let her start dressing like a boy and acting like a boy, and she loved it. She's a happy kid. They now call her he, and the point was, these parents recognized early on, you know, it wasn't just a phase. This little child was, I mean, do they know that young?
In fact, how it goes? I spoke with one of there was a doctor named John Money, who was at Johns Hopkins University, and he used to say that he would have kids walk across the room and say to them, to find out if they were transgender, he'd say, "Okay, I want you to walk across the room as a boy and come back as a girl. Now, if you say that to a boy who's not transgender, they'll say, 'No, I'm not a girl.' They'll fight you. But if you are with a transgender child, they'll come back as a girl."
Wow.
They'll walk.
So it's just, they know. They just know.
And you know, he did a lot of research. And some of his early research was quite damaging, because it's quite disturbing. He was a very controversial figure.
Well, I do think it's important for parents to realize that young, we're not talking about tomboys here. I'm talking about girls transitioning into boys. We're not talking about being a tomboy, you know, not liking to play with dolls. No, this is, you know, as a parent, you need to be able to recognize if your child is suffering, and this young couple did, and that's what this story was about. It was a beautiful story, and their son is now very healthy. He'll be getting hormone treatment when he gets puberty, and it just happens. And like I said, thank God.
There's so much controversy, and there's so much unknown, and that's what the frightening thing is, because sometimes the hormone situation can stunt the growth, or can have other effects. So, you know, it's not easy. It's not simple.
No.
And it's very complex, and it's a very hard decision. And but it was interesting to be able to work from a voice point of view and to really make a transition. And sometimes people would come in to my office, and you really couldn't tell that they had gone through the change. They were just so good at crossing over and being of that opposite sex. So that's kind of that's very rewarding for them.
Have you ever had somebody who transitioned over to the opposite sex and then said, "I made a mistake, I want to go back"?
Well, usually they'll kill themselves. I mean,
oh God, that's so sad.
It doesn't, you know, that's usually what happens. They don't usually, because so much of the damage is done from a hormone point of view, from surgery, breast surgery, from, you know, and to undo that is, you know, it's mutilation, and they just a lot of times give up, and or they do self-destructive things, whether it's, I shouldn't say they or use it as a vest, but a lot of people, and you see it in the statistics, but, you know, and it's a very, and when you're in a society and people are laughing at you and they're treating you horribly and abusing you, literally, you know, you've never felt good when you were younger, you know, you think, why bother?
I'm just so grateful now that we're understanding how much bullying and how much words can hurt. We didn't have that when I was growing up. Bullies were allowed to run wild,
There were bullies, but these bullies scar you. I mean, you know, it's interesting. I went to a high school reunion, and I saw a guy there, and he said, oh, see that guy over there? He used to bully me. Oh, I hate him, and now look at him. He's a loser, and I'm an attorney, and look at him. He's just a jerk. So, you know, it kind of like was a just reward he saw.
Mm-hmm. But it still bothered him. It still bugged him. Still hurt him,
Sure, and a lot of people, you know, I mean, we all have it. You know, there's, it's interesting that, you know, you see the bully girls in high school turn into the bully woman. They're still the same, you know. A lot of times women that you see that are nasty, pushy, and I'm going to say the word bossy because there are women that are, you know, think their way or the highway, and I don't think that's a bad word. I think it's a pejorative word that is negative, and it's not just for women or sexist, but there are women that are toxic.
Absolutely.
And whatever semantics you use, you know, that type of a person is often like that since childhood, and they don't learn to be respectful of others.
Let me change the topic here for just a moment, and then we're going to get to Hillary Clinton. I think everybody in our listening audience has had somebody in their life that they've met, they've really liked, thought they were a great person, fun, nice, sweet, giving, kind, charitable, all of that, and then they turn out to be a horribly toxic person.
Sure.
What can we watch out for? And as a body language, I mean, before we get involved with these people, boy, I wish I'd had some
good
advice
question.
In my life.
Good question.
You know?
The main thing is you've got to trust your instincts. You see it. You see it ahead of time. You watch how they treat others. And I have an experiment that I do with a lot of my clients, and I'll share it with your audience. What you need to do is take 5 people in your life, write the names down on a piece of paper of 5 people from childhood till now. Could be an ex, could be somebody who's been a neighbor, a teacher, a parent, anybody. And then next to each of these 5 names, and these are 5 people that have made your life miserable at some point. Then write 3 adjectives next to the person. Like, let's say somebody was, let's say, Julie. Julie is obnoxious, sneaky, backstabbing. And then you have Mary. And then you have 3 adjectives about Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting what will happen. The more toxic people you list, you'll start seeing a pattern happening. There are certain people that you're allergic to that are very toxic to you. What's toxic to you, Trish, may not be toxic to me.
Well, that's
true. There are a lot of times there are people that they can't stand people who are talk about themselves or have egos or narcissistic. Personally, I don't mind them. They don't bother me that much. I think they're kind of entertaining, and I like to hear about them. So if somebody's got a big ego, that's not very toxic to me. But if somebody's kind of a sneaky backstabber, I just can't stand people like that. But some people
tolerate it.
They like you. They say they have a philosophy where it's like, you could be mean behind my back, but be nice to my face. As long as you're nice to me, I don't care in front of me. And yeah, that's a philosophy. So, again, it's what is toxic to you. But if you make that list, you're going to be so surprised at the type of people that are very dangerous for you. And those are the people that you really need to keep a big old eye out for when you're around them. Because sometimes you can't help it. You may work with them. You may go to school with them. You may be involved with them in business. But they are your red flag people and danger zone people.
Exactly. So you write down 5 people that have been very toxic in your life, and then you write down descriptions next to their name. Okay, great. I'm going
to
do that.
And the more people, you know, I just said 5, but if you do it with 10, if you do it with 20, my goodness, you will start to see patterns, and you'll go, ooh, I better stay away from the sneaky types. Or I see that, I can smell it a mile away. Let me just, when I see that, or if I see, and it's different for men and women too. You can do it, do a list for men who've made you miserable, mm-hmm. and women who've made you miserable, and you'll start seeing there are even different. You can even sift it through the sexes, that what type mm-hmm. of woman is dangerous to be around for you, and what type of man is dangerous to be around for you.
Wow, that is interesting. I'm definitely going to do that, and I would advise everybody to do it.
I wrote this book called Toxic People, and it was a bestseller, and it still goes today.
It's great.
And it's really, and I'm so proud of it. And I wrote a book also called Toxic Men, which I hate. I wanted it to be called Toxic Men and Toxic Women because it makes me sound like some hateful man bastard, and I love men. So that's not me at all. Some mean old, you know, man. So I hate the title of the book, but the material in it can apply to women too. But I do like it. Mm-hmm. The material is really good.
Well, I would highly recommend, if there is one book that you can get today, it would be Toxic People, because that can save you a lot of heartache.
It's published in every language across the world, and it's helped millions of people since 1995. So it's I'm so proud of it because it really has had a major effect on people. And the beauty of it, it doesn't, you know, for lack of a better word, moan and groan about, oh, this is a toxic person. But no, it tells you what to do. And I have 10 steps that are certain steps that you can actually do with certain types of toxic people, and it works.
Let me ask you, what about a backstabber person who you thought was really nice and wonderful, and they turned out to be just the opposite? How do you take care of that? Because that's usually the most common thing, I believe.
See, you don't know people until you know them. And you watch them. Because, you know, and that's what people make the mistakes. Oh, I just met them, I just love them. No, you have to know them. You have to know them over time. You have to see how they interact and do things. You have to look at their value systems. And, you know, there are a lot of people that do disappoint. And that's when you have to let go. You have to unplug because they're going to do it again. People don't change. The only thing you can change with people is, you know, a diaper on a baby. That's it. You can't change people.
That's just it. It's that old saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. You don't go back for more. You know, you try and...
It's really interesting because, you know, went to a friend's house the other day, and they were talking about that they went to their high school reunion, and they encountered somebody that they just couldn't stand when they were younger, and now they can't stand them when they were older. You know, so it's like, you know, people don't change, and we don't change, even though we may grow and become smarter. Our character is pretty much set by the time we're 5, according to gazelle development theory.
And that's why, let's get right back to it again, that's why those early years are so important. And that brings me back to my soapbox issue, which is stop the child abuse from when you're, you know, when they're first born. I mean, you can do something horrible to a little baby just a couple of days old, and it will sit in their minds, and they'll grow up and they'll behave a certain way, and they don't know why. That's a whole other show, Dr. Glass. We're talking with Dr. Lillian Glass, world-renowned body language expert. I want to get to one final person here, and that is Hillary Clinton. It's probably I'd say almost a sure thing that she is going to be the presidential nominee. Now, talk about a polarizing person. You know, she could find a cure for cancer, and people would come out and say that she is Satan herself. I think she's amazing.
About? Well, you know what that's about? That has to do with her delivery. Because, again, we're not used to seeing that low, cold type, you know, tone. Mm-hmm. And she's brilliant. She's got going for her. But, again, people want to see that warmth, that humanity. And that's what's been lacking on this media tour. And I don't know who's coaching her, but they're not
very
doing
good.
A great job. She needs to come out there and be Hillary and forget about politics and just be, hey, look, this is what happened. And people would fall madly in love with her if she did that. But there's, you know, she's very competent, very experienced, very aware. And again, I usually hate doing politics, anything political, because I leave that to some of the other body language experts out there.
Yes.
I just hate politics. But, you know, I think that as a person, I can look at her objectively, forgetting about politics. Again, I don't get involved in it. But I do think that she has lacked that warmth, that people want to see that nurturing, you know, type of person that could lead us. And because we've seen the opposite. We haven't seen any of that in years. And then to see somebody that really shows compassion and care, that's not weakness from a woman. That's strength.
Oh, but that's big-time strength.
Coaching her, I think somebody's coaching her totally improperly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's what needs to come out.
I think I'll send a note to, like, the Democratic Party and say, Dr. Glass says, maybe it'll get to her.
It's true.
And she'll be a little more warm.
I think it would help her.
I do, too.
Because you really see that. And she could still be serious and talk about what she's doing, but showing a little more compassion, it's too robotic.
Somebody in our chat room, Cranky Crone, said, can anyone who wants that much power ever really be truly good? And the answer is, I know what you're saying. Somebody who wants all that power has to have a certain, huge ego and all kinds of things that we may find negative, but you have to have those things to be a good leader, too, of the free world. You have to be cold in some sense.
Nobody's had more experience than her.
Exactly.
And you really think about it because, you know, she was doing the thing with the Watergate from back in the day and being the first lady. She saw what happened behind the scenes and Secretary of State. I mean, boy, she sure has a lot of experience. And, again, I don't want to get into politics because that's so polarizing and that's just not where I'm coming.
Hillary Clinton needs some more warmth, but please, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
She needs some more warmth. Yeah, she needs to come just so you hear the message, and you can either vote for her or don't vote for her.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not giving the true messages across because you're not getting it. You're just so automatically turned off by the, you know, lack of warmth, the lack of tone in her voice that's not robotic, that is robotic rather, and it's not non-robotic.
Exactly. It's not the warm human that we need to hear from our president or a presidential candidate anyway.
No. It's what's going
Dr.
on
Glass,
in the world. We need that compassion.
Oh, we need the compassion and someone that understands that we need compassion and you know, kind of dial back the bombing and the war rhetoric. Anyway, that's my opinion. I'm going to get down off my soapbox. Dr. Lillian Glass, what do you have coming up in your life? Do you have a new book coming out? What's happening that we can talk about?
Yeah, I've got actually a couple things I'm working on. There's a guy who's a yoga person. His name is Bikram Chowdhury, and there's some controversy about him that is out there, but it's not true, so don't believe it. He developed this hot yoga. His name is Bikram Yoga, and I am going to be doing a book with him called Bikram Vocal Yoga on how to improve the way you speak through
different
exercises he's come up. So it's not general yoga exercises. It's specific exercises that we came up that help you project your voice. We talked about being warm, help you have more of a warm voice, help you sound more credible, and how to stand better, how to have better body language, how to speak with more confidence. And it's called Confidence Through Vocal Yoga. So we're going that route, and that's kind of exciting. And let's see, what other things? Working on some other books. And, you know, trying to get some other projects out and about.
We'll busy.
Yeah, and doing my legal consulting with attorneys and some jury consulting. And so, you know, just a little doing some media stuff. So a little here, a little bit there, and it keeps life real exciting when you have your hands at a lot of different pots.
Oh, yes. Now, you know what I love? If you haven't followed Dr. Lillian Glass on Facebook, she has the cutest mother. And you've been taking
my
her
sweetheart
to auditions. Tell us about that. How's she doing?
Oh, Yeah, she's great. I mean, you know, I got her, you know, it's kind of like we have a role reversal, and I don't mm-hmm. have any daughters, any children, so she's my child. She and Annabelle are my child. And so she says, oh, get your own child. I said, no, you're it.
Yeah, you're
so
it. You're done.
I'm her stage mom, and I take her to mm-hmm. auditions. And the reason I did is because people kept stopping her in the street because she's kind of Betty White kind of looking. And mm-hmm. People, you know, real cute and sweet. In fact, they met in the hairdresser, believe it or not, my mom and Betty White. And they both thought they looked like sisters. And Betty said, oh, yeah, my sister. But so people kept stopping. We'd go to airports, and people would stop her and ask her for an autograph. I go, wait.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I said, what the
heck?
So
funny.
I got her into acting classes. I got her into commercial cold reading classes. Mm-hmm. And then I started taking her out for commercials. She got an agent. And we started going to commercials, and she got a Dodge commercial recently. She's done.
Wow.
She's up for all kinds of stuff, and you know, I'm just so proud. I get all nervous, and she has the best attitude. Like she could care less. She goes, well, whatever. And I'm like, oh gosh, I hope we got it. You know, like this little nervous Nelly stage mom. So it's really
I love
cute.
It. Well, thank you for up. Thank you for updating us on your mother's acting chances. And keep updating us because it is just fascinating because she is just absolutely adorable. You want to reach through the screen and just hug her. She's just so cute.
I know.
She's
wherever
just
she goes, they fall madly in love with her. It's precious.
Oh, she is
it's
cute.
It's the opposite of some people we know, huh, Trish?
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. That's a whole other show. Dr. Glass. Thank you so much. Again, we appreciate it. Go to Dr. Glass's website. That's www.lillianglass.com. There's so much good stuff there. Get her book, especially Toxic People. It will save you heartache like you wouldn't.
It will.
Dr. Glass, again, thank you so much, and just keep in touch, okay?
Thank you so much, Trish, for having me on. Thank you.
Take
care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Don't you just love Dr. Glass? I do. Oh, she is just the sweetest lady. But, boy, I love it when she sticks up for herself. If you read her Facebook page, you know, she'll comment on a Kardashian or somebody. And like we were talking about, someone comes in and tries to challenge her, and she just slam dunks them. They are slam dunked to the sidewalk. It's great. Okay, I want to update you. There was a search today for Kyron Horman, and the Class Kids Foundation was in charge of the search, and I have, let me get at these text messages here, from one of the people that was, the person that was in charge of the search, Stacy. Let me just give you a quick update. They had 60 volunteers, ground searchers, and 5 dogs, canines. They worked for 3 days. And what they have done is they've cleared a lot of areas, which is really important when you're looking for a missing person, unfortunately, in this case, more than likely a body. When you clear a place, that is so helpful for all the obvious reasons. And, you know, it's an active investigation, so if they found anything, they can't say anything, but a lot of people showed up. So it was a successful search in that a lot of people showed up and they cleared a lot of areas. Kyron yet, but let's keep praying and keep our fingers crossed. That little boy certainly deserves to come home. Okay, let me check the chat room, see if everybody is behaving there. Ah, yes, everyone's being sweet. Okay, here is the announcement. I'm not going to do this blog talk show anymore. I'm going to do my Thursday show with iHeartRadio. But I'm going to retire, maybe temporary, maybe forever, I don't know, retire from this Sunday show because I need to concentrate on my Thursday show. Now, the shows are confusing, first of all, because you have to go to 2 different places. They operate totally different ways. And I really do need to concentrate on the iHeartRadio show because that's the show, if everything works, that we can get into syndication and get that 5-day-a-week true crime radio show, and that's what we're working on. We've got our first step. We're in the big door. We're with the big boys and girls right now. We're on iHeartRadio. That is huge. It's owned by Clear Channel. It's only one night a week, 8 o'clock on Thursdays, but we're there. Now the next hurdle is, okay, come on, let's get this syndication deal. Next Thursday, My guest is going to be Kim Goldman. Yeah, Ron Goldman's sister, the O.J. trial. She's just written a book. We're going to talk to her about that. An incredibly strong and courageous woman, somebody I've admired ever since the horrible tragedy that happened to her family. She has always had grace and class, unlike the other side. So we'll be talking with Kim Goldman. That's 8 o'clock. And this is why it's so confusing. It's on iHeart Radio or iHeart.com, iHeartRadio.com. I can't remember. Isn't that terrible? But it's in their Extreme Talk section. And when you go to their Extreme Talk section on their web page, they don't list any of the shows. You just have to know that I come on that link at 8 o'clock on Thursday nights. Now, if you go to Wikipedia and put in Extreme Talk and scroll down, they give you a list of the shows. But other than that, it's just me trying to get the link out there. So I'll keep posting it on Facebook, on Web Sleuths, on FFJ, on Twitter. And if you could help me get that link and the message out, 8 o'clock Eastern Time Thursday nights is True Crime Radio on the iHeartRadio Network. So if we can get that 5-day-a-week show, we will just be able to move mountains, my friends. I'll take you right along with me. So next week will be my last show, and I'm going to have Levi Page on. We're going to reminisce about all the years doing true crime and all the crazy things that have happened to us, the crazy people in our lives, and not to mention the crazy criminals. All of that for my last Blog Talk show next week. And then this Thursday on iHeartRadio, it's Kim Goldman. We'll just be discussing her new book, okay? That is my announcement. Okay, here we go. Hey, today's show is brought to you by the Doris Day Animal Foundation. Doris Day, the actress, decided she was sick and tired of seeing homeless animals around her area where she lived. She got up out of her chair and did something about it. She formed the Doris Day Animal Foundation, and their whole goal is to find homes for homeless animals, and they're actually, they go all over the U.S. It is truly amazing. DorisDayAnimalFoundation.org is the website. Opinions expressed on Trisha's True Crime Radio are those of the hosts and guests. Trisha's True Crime Radio is a completely separate entity from WebSleuths.com, LLC, and ForumsForJustice.org. Thank you to everybody in the chat room. Thank you so much to Sleuth 5 for helping me with the chatters and to everybody who has joined us today. We do appreciate it. It's Trisha's True Crime Radio, where we discuss true crime and current events, and we always do it with common sense. Good night, everybody.